I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tim Scott was behind Donald Trump the entire time, grinning like a Cheshire cat last night.
What did you think about the Tim Scott moment on the stage with Trump?
I mean, I've called this the great emasculation of the Republican Party.
I know Tim and I are both practicing Christians, but I don't know if he could pray like that to the other side. I mean, it was humiliating to watch what Tim Scott did.
Tim Scott, he's this big man. What is he so afraid of? What are they so afraid of? Is Donald Trump going to punch him in the nose, you know, if he doesn't suck up to him like that?
Well, that is the leftist approach about Senator Tim Scott standing behind Donald Trump the other day after the Iowa primary and smiling and making remarks, as you heard one of them say, like a Cheshire cat. And another one saying, why has he got to suck up to Donald Trump? Is he afraid he's going to punch him in the nose? And you cannot be a supporter of Donald Trump and be black. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. It's written somewhere in the leftist handbook. This is the attitude of divisiveness that continues to break this nation in so many fragments. The nation is founded on the simple principle: you have a right and a First Amendment right speaking and selecting who you want to be in office. But not if you don't follow the path and order we give you. Let me go back to, don't they follow the orders? When I led and pushed women and children into the chambers at Auschwitz. It's the same thing here. If you're not going to be goose-stepping the way they tell you to, then you're an enemy. And they'll find vile and dirty things to say about you. Senator Tim Scott and John LeBoutier, one of my guests that we have on from time to time, that I know some of you don't like hearing from him, but I do. I like his insight. He made a point the other day, which I know is really hurting a lot on the left, and that is that Senator Tim Scott was a congressional legislator and then was appointed by Nikki Haley to fulfill a term of a senator who had passed. I believe it was Pruitt, if I recall right. I might be wrong. Never am I wrong. Come on. Come on. I'm joking. Yeah, well, I do from time to time. And it's almost like because she appointed him, then he should be giving his support to Nikki Haley based on loyalty. Your mama and daddy raised you, hopefully. You have both, still do. And you should always do what they say, exactly the way they say they do it. And never veer from that, and I'll bet you never have you? Well, of course you have. It doesn't mean you don't love them and care about them, but you reach an age where you think, you know, I think I know better, or this is what I want. And you could be wrong. But based on the characterization, assassination of Senator Tim Scott by those on the left, simply because he was standing behind Trump, Nikki Haley appointed you, gave you the opportunity, appointed you to Senate, then you ran and you got elected. You owe all that to Nikki Haley. And here, one of the leftists dare say, you had to, how many times you got to kiss Donald's ring or butt? But they're expecting him to do the same to Nikki Haley. And he decided, I got to go with the winner. He was against Trump. He was in one of the campaigns, obviously, originally, as a primary candidate. So he was running against Haley as well. But dare you stand there on the stage during Donald Trump's victory speech and smile like, this is great. Now, he might be thinking, this is great because now maybe I might have a second place on that ticket. Maybe, maybe not. Someone was suggesting to me the other day, you know, Nikki Haley could still be a vice presidential candidate for Trump. I said, she could be. She could be. But I could also stand in the middle of the highway out here and a train would run over me. Not very likely in the middle of the highway. If I go stand on the railroad tracks, greater possibility. All right, let's go through a couple things here. First of all, welcome for joining us. Here we are, January 28, 2024. This month is sliding by and the 12th of the year will be gone already. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA and reminding you when we're on the air, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. We are streaming video at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, also News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and YouTube. If you miss anything by any chance or you can't see or listen to each and every part that you want to, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. That's the podcast. Goes up after we go off the air. LarryConnorsUSA.com. And you can also go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and do it as well. There's no reason to ever miss anything. But I do want to let you know something before we continue, and we're going to have him up as a guest here shortly. Starting next Monday night, immediately after we finish our program, Rob Carter, the Rob Carter Show will premiere, airing 8 to 10. Now, Rob is a St. Louis native. He will be the newest addition to News Talk STL on the lineup. You have probably heard him before as he filled in as for guest host. Does an excellent job, well-versed, extremely strong in his views, and like all of us here, patriotic, right to the bone. So he'll be joining us, and we'll be talking to Rob a little bit later in this hour. Also, tomorrow morning, the Dr. Randy Tobler Show. He's got guests lined up that you do not want to miss this show tomorrow. There's been a blow up in the Missouri Congress, Missouri State House, where, and this is just between Republicans. The Republican leader of the Missouri Senate said she'd like to expel a conservative senator in the chamber because she considers that he's a threat to what they want to do. Well, they're both Republicans, but she, while having the R behind her name, is not a Republican. She wants to oust Senator Bill Eigel, outspoken member of the Freedom Caucus, running for governor. Now, she would need two-thirds vote in support of some minority party Democrats to make it work, so it's not likely. But this follows an effort earlier, just this week, where the conservative Republicans who gathered for a newly formed Freedom Caucus were trying to slow down routine work because they want pushes on major concerns of Missourians, not just nonsense stuff. So then they, under the leadership of Senate Majority Leader Cindy O'Loughlin, they decided they would strip some of these on the Freedom Caucus of their chairmanship, of their committees. Oh, and as an added punishment, we're taking away your parking place. Boy, you talk about being nasty. Might as well spit in their face while you're at it, right? But anyway, tomorrow morning, Dr. Randy Tobler will have First of all, in advance of the Senate Majority Leader, she will be on at 8:10, but he is going to have, wanted to have Senator Nick Schroer right after her, but Nick has some family issues, so he will be on in the preceding hour, 7:25. So Nick will be on at 7:25. Nick, obviously, a host of a program on here as well on Sunday evenings. And then before him, you're going to hear from the Senate Majority Leader. And I know Dr. Randy Tobler will take him to task, and fair task on both sides, as to what's going on here. Why can't we work together? And we're getting nothing done. Now, I know Randy and I favor Nick, but you still have to defend your position. So I expect that's going to be an engaging conversation. You don't want to miss that tomorrow morning. Now, back to the issue with Senator Tim Scott being called out by the leftists because he is a black man. Here's a question Sean Hannity posed to him.
You know, Senator, identity groups in America, you're not allowed to attack them, but there seems to be open season on one group, conservative African Americans. I'm sure you're sick and tired of it, because I certainly am. Some of these comments are repulsive.
Absolutely. They're vile and disgusting comments coming from the far left. Sean, the most racist in the country are liberals. The bigotry that comes from the far radical left is just normal these days. Why? Because they're trying not just to attack me, but they're trying to make sure that any other minority who will think for themselves and consider the GOP, they want to send a message to every single one of them. Step out of line and we'll attack you too.
And we will attack you. Oh, you're black-faced? Tough luck. We're going to come after you anyway, because we don't see you as a person of color that needs special protections. And Tim Scott would be one of the last ones to say, I need a safe space. And then Scott added his own thoughts of how he refutes this opposition.
Step out of line and we'll attack you too. That level of intimidation doesn't work with me. And to every single African-American, Hispanic, millennial, anybody in the majority population or minority population, if you believe in conservatism, stand up and be counted. If you want to make America the greatest nation on God's green earth, step into the fire, because we have to save this nation. We better save it right now, because the radical left, they're so afraid of people like me, people like you, Sean, thinking for ourselves, speaking out and speaking the truth, that they'll do anything they possibly can to silence the truth.
Yeah, they will. They'll call you names. And even though they're racial slurs to them, it's you're due it. You're to be called whatever we decide, because you don't get it. You're not with us. Now, there's another break in the congressional level between, quote, our Republicans in the House and in the Senate when it comes to trying to control this illegal immigration issue. And in fact, I want you to hear a report as it was stated on Fox News this morning.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott refusing to give up control of the Texas border to federal officials, ignoring the administration's deadline to get access to Shelby Park by keeping federal agents out. That deadline is today. Instead, Abbott is installing more razor wire following the Supreme Court's decision allowing federal agents to remove it. Texas now receiving support from 25 Republican governors, all backing Abbott's border actions while blaming the Biden administration for the crisis. Former President Trump wants to take it one step further, encouraging the states to deploy their National Guardsmen to Texas to prevent illegal crossings.
Yeah, it'd be a good idea, right? And there's another plan underway. I'll get to that in a moment. But Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell say they're committed to bringing a package of linking money for Ukraine with border security. And yet a letter from the House Speaker Mike Johnson said that kind of proposal will be dead on arrival. We're not going to tie immigration to Ukraine money. New York Congresswoman Tenney said, look at what we're dealing with in our nation.
I just want to weigh in from New York. We have a far left liberal governor who just put $2.4 billion more into protecting illegal immigrants in the state of New York. And I just had a roundtable conference with all different types of law enforcement members, including Customs and Border Patrol, because I represent the northern border of New York. And they described to me a situation where so many of them have been displaced to the southern border because of the catastrophe there. And so we are leaving ourselves vulnerable everywhere. And the fact that the Supreme Court is coming down against Texas on this case, we'll see where it ultimately ends up. But Texas is trying to defend its border against a lawless president, a Department of Homeland Security head, Mayorkas, who are refusing to actually implement the laws of the United States, which is what part of the basis for the impeachment of both Joe Biden and Mayorkas is about in the House of Representatives, where we have a very slim majority now, only two-seat majority, you know, really between keeping sanity and the craziness of what's happening in the Biden administration.
That is how close we are to the insanity of the Biden administration. Two votes in the House. The Congresswoman continues about what Biden has done to this country.
64 different laws, whether they're executive orders or changes of our administrative laws by Mayorkas, is what has caused this problem at the border. We had laws in place under President Trump that were working, and yet this president decided to roll them back simply because they were rules, it seems to me, by Donald Trump. And it is now becoming, isn't this deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. We are looking at the biggest issue that was faced in 2016 when President Trump was seeking election. Now it was the border then, and now it's the border and the economy again.
So there is another effort that's being mobilized right now to deal with the border issue. Listen to this play out.
700,000 vehicles? That's the prediction here. How do you keep that, well, peaceful and on track? That's a lot of trucks.
Well, the people that have organized this are the same people that went to California to D.C. with the truckers. I understand we're going to be joined by Canadian truckers. So these people are committed to a peaceful demonstration that we've had enough. The American people have had enough. We're demanding that the Biden administration do its job, enforce the laws on the books, and secure our border. 8 million people during the Biden administration, that's more than the population of Ohio. This is the time for us to rise up as the American people and demand that our president do his job.
That is Texas Congressman Keith Self. And one of the demonstrations will be a gathering of 700 trucks headed to the Texas border. That doesn't mean they're all going to park along the Rio Grande. They wouldn't be able to do that. But it will be some massive show. Will that be enough to convince the Biden administration you're on the wrong side? I don't know they will be. But it shows where the American people stand. And they're on the right side. Speaking of being on the right side, our new Sunday host will be joining me when we return. Rob Carter, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. As I was telling you earlier today a couple of times, and now we're going to spend some time directly with the man I was speaking of. Starting Monday at 8 p.m., immediately following Larry Connors, USA, Monday through Friday, you'll have a chance to hear the Rob Carter Show. Now, many of you have probably heard Rob previously hosting, co-hosting, and helping out with substitute hosting programs on News Talk STL before. He is a strong champion of you and this nation. Rob, glad to have you on board, sir.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Glad to be on. I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, there you go. You're trying to get me go easy on your own questions. Was that the idea?
It's true.
Well, let me start this, said Rob. I've heard you before, and I think you're just too timid and weak-kneed. You don't really say what you think.
Well, I do have a tendency to get very irritated with what's going on in the political realm. So, yeah, I try to calm it down there. I say in between breaks, I take my medication to get back on track.
Well, and since you're in Dallas today, right, this is why
I'm in New York.
Oh, okay, New York. Okay, we're good. I thought you were going to say you're outside the studio. Lock the door, Quentin. So, anyway, we appreciate you making time. Give us a view of how you see the Rob Carter Show doing and your mission.
Well, what I want to do more than anything is get St. Louis, in particular, involved in its political system. I see states' rights as being a big issue. I see an out-of-control D.C. Apparatus that is in collaboration with big media. And I think that kind of filters down into the states, filters down into local politics. And I think if we can get Missouri voters engaged in what's going on in the state, we can start to make life better, make life easier. It's just too hard right now. I don't like the taxes I don't like personal property tax. It's just a Missouri thing that I think is absurd.
Right.
I don't like illegal immigration bleeding into our borders. And I don't like political parties, especially the Republican Party in this particular instance, pointing fingers at each other and making excuses to why they don't get things done. I think it can't go on, and I think debate, getting people to debate, is the key. I think then people can make a determination on who's telling the truth and who's doing something for reasons outside of public interest and more private and personal interest.
Well, you're going to start. You'll have an obviously hot topic Monday, which we'll discuss in a moment. But you mentioned Missouri. A lot of these are the same things for Illinois listeners and those beyond the Missouri-Illinois border.
Correct. Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, you got the Freedom Caucus, With Tim Jones right here on our own station, and you've got Nick Schroer, who does a show on this station, involved with the Freedom Caucus. I have interviewed Bill Eigel many times. They seem to want to get very conservative things done, and they are pointing the finger at Caleb Rodin and Kelly O'Loughlin for Kathy O'Loughlin. I can't even remember who it is.
Cindy, leader.
Cindy O'Loughlin, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And they're saying that they are holding things up, and it's one of those deals where you have a supermajority in Missouri. You would assume that they could get things done, and here we are getting ready to get into another election season, and things are not getting done.
And so every time we're told, well, we'll get it done this time. How many times have we been told we'll get rid of the property tax? We'll do this, we'll do that. And it does not get done. And as you said, with Missouri, and when on my program, I throw a wider net. I leave for Tim Jones, Chris Arps, and now you with Missouri or whatever you choose to focus on that. But the situation and the storyline is the same here or anywhere across the nation. Blah, 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 blah. But then they never do it.
Right. Which makes you wonder. You know, you hear the term uniparty all the time.
Yeah.
It does make you wonder if there are bigger entities, financial interests, corporate interests, that control both sides of the aisle, and that is where the gridlock begins, and that's why nothing gets done. Certainly seems to be the case. Big money can influence anything, and I was in the corporate world for a long time. I watched how it worked, and I'd like to get to the bottom of it. I think Missouri voters want to get to the bottom of it. I love the state. You know, Missouri is one of the very few states where initiative petition, you can actually get things done just by getting autographs and getting signatures. So there's an opportunity to save it ourselves without pointing to politicians and hoping they fix the problem.
Now, tomorrow morning, Dr. Randy Tobler on his show is going to have State Senator Schroer on, and after him is going to be Cindy McLaughlin. And it's almost like a childish pissing match, to be direct about it. That
I agree.
Because some of these so-called Republicans in the Senate got upset because the Freedom Caucus said, we're going to hold your feet to the fire and get something done. They said, well, you know what? We'll just take away your chair and your chairmanship. And by the way, we're not going to let you park in your parking places anymore.
Very petty,
yes.
Right? I mean, the first thing you think of is just petty politics.
Yeah.
And what I think, Larry, is I think what you just described is something that I would like to change. You know, you've got Nick Schroer coming on and then O'Loughlin. Why aren't they speaking to each other? Why isn't there a moderator, a public debate? Phil Valencia does my show. He's a big fan of debate. You know, he was a William Buckley fan. He watches those Buckley shows over and over again, which a lot of people did of our age. And the debate illuminates a liar. You know, you get to see when people are being, they're avoiding questions, when they're hiding things. You can see it.
Yeah.
For some reason in our society, debate has just went away. And I think that we have to put pressure on politicians to get face-to-face, public arena, have the bills ready, get the questions asked, and see how people respond to that. That is the pressure that I think our politicians are no longer under. They can just talk to themselves. They can be called liars. They can point fingers. They can do whatever they want. But they're not face-to-face with their accuser like it used to be.
Well, on top of that, the media
is a big part of the...
And on top of that, the media is not doing its job of pinning them down. And I don't
That's
know,
right.
maybe knowing Randy, he probably would have loved to have them on at the air at the same time. But I don't know. He had to change Nick's scheduled time anyway. But the press is not going to do its job. It's not going to hold folks down. And since you mentioned, you know, we're the same age, you do know you're about 20 years younger. Are you laughing at me?
We're relatively the same era, Larry.
Quentin hit the kill button. We're done with this interview. but anyway, you're right. And here's the other thing. There is a time that we need to hear people. I have mentioned repeatedly that in high school and college, if you're looking for your student, your child to take a course that will pay off big time at anything they do in life, and that would be debate, where you have to learn to argue side A and be believing in it just as much as you have to argue the side B. And in competition, when you get to the classroom, you don't know until you get there, are we debating A or B? Which side are we on?
Right.
If you don't know how to defend both and can't explain both, you're lost.
Right. And that means you don't know the issue very well, and or, especially with these politicians, that your interest may not be the public's interest. And that's what I think is going on. That's my gut feeling on it. I don't like to cast aspersions on people, but you know, watching it for as long as I have. Yeah, watching it for a long time, and you start to see the same, just like you said, it's across the country. It's every election cycle. It's always somebody else's fault that things don't get done. And I think there needs to be some resolution to that sooner rather than later, because the country, you know, I'm in New York, and it's just, it's a mess.
Sure.
The state is a mess, and I've been traveling the country. I was
Are you complaining you an illegal alien kicked you out of your hotel room? Is that your issue?
No, it's just the roads, the streets, the just the general vibe of the state. You know, you get out of Manhattan, you get into upstate New York, I'm heading toward Connecticut, and it's just a dreary, lackadaisical, apathetic environment that the country is in right now, and something needs to change it, motivate it, and let's get back to taking control of our government.
You mentioned something I'd like to get a little bit more direct opinion from you. There are times that those who are elected by their constituents realize that, you know, what they want really is not feasible. It would not be good for us, our area, and maybe the nation, county, whatever they're representing. And I'm going to go against what they elected me to do because I believe this is wrong. Now, should a politician be elected always say, well, they voted me in to do this, so I'll go ahead and do it, even though now I think it's wrong?
No. No, representative government means that the representative is the final decider. But you've got to explain that to your constituents. Yep. You have to stand behind it. You have to believe in it. And then you got to have an election system that says if they don't like what you had to say, that you can be voted out of office. I'm not even sure our election system is on the up and up. And I always talk about it on my show. Rasmussen, their polling, said that 65% of Americans do not believe that the elections are on the up and up. Yep. So regardless of whether they are or aren't, if 65% of the people do not believe that the elections are fair and just, then we got a big problem, staring us in the face, and we got to figure that out too.
And again, you're listening to Rob Carter. He will begin his program starting Monday night, following our program every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. when we're on. He comes on immediately after that, 8 to 10. And Rob, the other thing that exists in the nation now is this vicious hatred and division. You can't even, the way they were calling out Tim Scott the other night simply because he was behind Trump applauding Trump's victory. He had already thrown his support to him, but they were thinking, Nikki Haley helped you become a senator. You shouldn't be back there applauding him. You look like a buffoon.
Right. It does feel like hatred and anger and vitriol is what sells. That's what gets donation money coming your direction. You demonize anybody who doesn't agree with you, and that gets the emotions all ramped up, and then that creates an environment where you can raise money. It does seem like the system is a little bit out of whack, needs to be fixed. If Tim Scott wants to back Donald Trump because his views are closer to Donald Trump's, or believes that Donald Trump can fix some of the situations with the swamp up there in D.C. and get some things solved, that's his prerogative, and I don't know why anybody would attack him for it.
Well, because he's a black man supporting Donald Trump.
They don't like that at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, Larry, that seems to be a movement. A lot of black voters are moving toward Donald Trump. You start to see that happen all over the country. You're starting to see a lot of the entertainment world move in that direction. So I think that's inevitable. People do not like what's going on with Joe Biden.
They can think for themselves. Rob Carter, thank you for your time. Looking forward to your show. The audience will be listening and watching, and I'm glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Thanks, Larry. Love your show, man.
Thank you, sir. Be careful on your trip. When we continue, you're given an endorsement, and then suddenly, now we want to take that back.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Oh, you just happened to play cocaine, didn't you, Quentin? Well, I was going to do a Hunter Biden story. You didn't know that, but I was anyway. I guess great minds think alike. What can we say, right? Co-producer Quentin helping run the show and keep us going and shut me down when he needs to sometimes. I have in front of me here a piece by Axios. Now, Axios is a leftist-leaning publication. Make no mistake about it. But I want to share a headline they have here. And you're supposed to take it as fact. You understand what I'm going to read to you is a headline, but it's supposed to be fact. Hunter Biden associate says president, quote, never involved, end quote, in business dealings. Well, that's it. We're done. There's nothing else to say because now it's here in print. Now on my computer, Hunter Biden associate says president, Biden, his name's left out, but we know what you're talking about, never involved in business dealings. Contrary to various pictures and even his own remarks we've heard from Joe Biden and questionable bank records, which are legitimate bank records, not fabricated, not manufactured, but they exist and have for some time. But let's continue the article as if we're buying in, as we say, full hook and sinker. Hunter business associate Rob Walker told Congress that President Biden, while in office or as a private citizen, was never involved in any of the business activities we pursued. Well, he's not claiming anonymous that use of anonymity. He's putting his name out, Rob Walker. And I say that he wasn't. Why does this matter? Well, as Axios points out, House Republicans, of course, continue investigating links between Biden and his son's business dealings, foreign business dealings, as part of an impeachment inquiry. Remember, the House voted for that just last month. And they point out, to be clear, President Biden, while in office or as a private citizen, was never involved in any of the business activities we pursued. Walker told the House Oversight and House Judiciary Committee during a closed-door deposition. according to his opening statement obtained by Axios. I wonder how they got that. I mean, it's a closed-door hearing. It's supposed to be closed-door, not coming out. Well, there were always leaks coming out of the Adam Schiff-less investigation. They'll all come out and say, well, I can't tell you what exactly, but it's bad. It's really bad for Trump. Oh, my God. Better start digging the grave now. But anyway, he added in his deposition, which just ended up in the hands of Axios, any statement to the contrary is simply false. Again, Biden, while in office or private citizen, was never involved in any of the business activities Hunter and I and others were pursuing. Any statement to the contrary is simply false. What he is saying, basically, again, Axios is helping you understand the story. Walker defended Hunter Biden's character and insisted Hunter always, quote, made sure there was a clear boundary between any business and his father. Walker also challenged Republican motives. He said, based on what has transpired through this inquiry to date, I'm very concerned that what I say here today may be taken out of context to further a political objective rather than to discover the truth. These guys can't spell the word truth. Then they add, here's our big picture. This is all from Axios. House Republicans, led by House Oversight Chair James Comer, have sought to tie the president to Hunter's foreign business dealings. Well, that's a fact. Then they say they have struggled to present substantial evidence that Biden broke the law or benefited financially from his son's business dealings, even as they sought testimony from Biden family members and associates. That's all true, but they have not deposed Biden yet, Hunter Biden and others. Hunter now has agreed to sit before them next month because House Republicans threatened to vote on holding him in contempt of Congress. Now, if they did so, just yesterday, Navarro, one of Trump's associates, was sentenced to 4 months for refusing to show up for a subpoena. So that should be the very least, that Hunter should be in right now. He should be in jail right now while this is going forward because he did not show up for a subpoena. Of course, that was the day he stood outside the Capitol on the Senate side rather than the House side and talked to reporters and took no questions, just told them what I did and how they're coming after me. Against that backdrop, let me share this story from The Federalist, written by Paul Sperry. This is the headline for this one. Trump tax leaker gets the Hunter Biden treatment with sweetheart deal from DOJ. Well, now, Larry, you question the headline on the other. You're going to question this? Yeah, I would. And when they say the sweetheart deal, I'm thinking about the deal that Hunter was going to have until the judge said, well, is he facing any other charges? I mean, if I go along with this, am I granting him immunity from everything? I want to know, is he facing other charges? Is he under investigation? And even his own attorneys had to admit yes. Yes, and so did members of the DOJ who were involved in pursuing him. Yes, Judge, there are other charges we're investigating. Now, some of them have already disappeared in the sense that statute of limitations ran out. So this piece by Paul Sperry in The Federalist adds, against the backdrop of Trump prosecutions, the collapse of the Hunter Biden plea deal, Little John's plea agreement raises questions about the politicization of justice. Who's Little John? Well, glad you asked. He is a former IRS contractor, Charles Edward Little John, who, and as it's written here, stole and helped publicize confidential tax records of Donald Trump and an estimated 75 other wealthy Americans. He has been convicted. That is a fact. But there's another sweetheart deal coming to him from the DOJ. It's very possible that even though he stole and then publicized confidential tax records, since some of them involved Donald Trump, he could face little or no jail time. What? Say it ain't so, Larry. I'm sorry, it's so. He's to be sentenced later this month. The DOJ allowed him to plead guilty to a single felony count. I just told you he stole tax records of Donald Trump and 7,500 other Americans. They're letting him plead guilty to one felony. In the court filing, prosecutors acknowledge the plea does, and this is the quote from the DOJ, we know the plea deal, quote, does not account for the fact that he leaked thousands of individuals' tax returns. His sentencing range would be the same today if he leaked only a single return. I don't know if that's true, but I'm not a lawyer. Then again, I'm not so sure the DOJ has any lawyers in it anymore. But then they add, but instead of seeking prison time for each offense, or even for two separate mass thefts committed, one in 2019, another in 2020, the DOJ, the Department of Injustice, the Department of Injustice is asking the judge to sentence Little John to just 60 months, the maximum for a single offense. Many are saying he should get 60 years, not months. It's the biggest heist of IRS taxpayer data in history. Let's say you did it. Do you think you would get away with just 60 months? The attorneys for the 38-year-old argue he actually deserves a lower sentence, 4 to 10 months, because he leaked stolen private tax data to, quote, reputable news organizations like the New York Times, thinking they would handle the information responsibly. Oh, I get it. I never realized this. If you steal some highly classified intel information and you believe Larry Connors will handle it properly, if you give it to me and say, well, I thought Larry would handle it properly, I shouldn't be charged because he didn't. What a perversion of justice all the way around. Biden, of course, is watching as the campaigns move forward. South Carolina will be the first time his name's going to be on the ballot because that is where Democrats wanted to begin this election cycle. Not New Hampshire, not Iowa. But, of course, Trump has already won Iowa and New Hampshire. Now we'll see the primary in South Carolina how it goes. And you can switch parties in South Carolina easily enough. And that's later next month. And whether or not Haley will remain in the race after that, if she gets thumped hard in her own state, will she stay or not? But Biden has been getting some major union endorsements. But the way they're passing them out, it's almost like cotton candy in your mouth. You've got it, and then suddenly it's gone. Never to be seen or tasted again. And there is just no way they're ever going to get to enjoy the endorsement because they're yanking them back. So one of them, of course, came from the union boss for the UAW. And here is what he said at one time. Union representative, boss, president, Sean Fain, made a remark about who the union was going to endorse.
And this choice is clear. Joe Biden bet on the American worker, while Donald Trump blamed the American worker. We need to know who's going to sit in the most powerful seat in the world and help us win as a united working class. So if our endorsements must be earned, Joe Biden has earned it.
There you go. Joe Biden's got the UAW endorsement. Not so fast. Yes, he said that, as you heard him say in his own voice, but now he is saying in an interview with Neil Cavuto, let me be clear about this, a great majority of our members will not vote for Biden. Some will, but the reality of this is the majority of our members are going to vote with their paychecks, and they're going to vote for an economy that works for them. They're going to vote for a president. When you look at these two, the choice is very clear about which one stands up with the working class, which one stands with labor. And he's making those remarks immediately after announcing the UAW would endorse Biden for re-election. Yet at the same time, he's saying a great majority of his own interest, his own members, will not vote for Joe Biden. Good. Well, Stuart Varney had a representative of another union back May 9 making this statement.
Now, remember when a former Trump campaign advisor, Steve Cortez, announced this on our show, Roll Tape.
I'm backing Governor Ron DeSantis for president and just joined his pack, his aligned pack, Never Back Down. The idea of a rematch of Biden versus Trump is something this country overwhelmingly does not want. It is a movie that we have already seen. Nobody liked it. And we know the ending.
We know the ending. So we don't like it. That was May 9. That's what he was telling Stuart Varney. And the guy speaking at that point, he is the president of the League of American Workers, advocating with facts and ferocity on behalf of largely disregarded American workers. And so they were going to be supporting Biden, not Trump. That's what he said May 7. He comes back to the Stuart Varney show and has to say this.
I don't relish having to come on and say on national television that I was wrong, but I was wrong. And I think it's important when the facts change that we be willing to change our minds. And clearly the American people have spoken overwhelmingly, both in polling and now in real live voting in Iowa, that they view, Republican voters view Donald Trump as the indisputable warrior leader of the America First movement. But the other thing that changed on the ground, Stuart, that none of us knew at that time in May when I spoke to you in New York. At that time, there was only one sham indictment from Alvin Bragg in New York State against Donald Trump. There were, of course, three more ridiculous such indictments to come. And as those indictments rolled along, as you well know, Republican voters rallied to Donald Trump, understandably so, realizing that he was being not just prosecuted politically, but he was being persecuted. As a sitting American president tried to remove his opponent from the field, tried to put his opponent in office, something that is unjust, it's unprecedented, and it's totally un-American.
So here's your endorsement. Not so fast. Let me share some other things very quickly. New York Post. Most Gen Z and millennials rely on their parents. Fox Business News. One-third of small businesses fear they will not survive 2024. NPR, housing unaffordable for a record half of all renters. Well, I thought Bidenomics is working just great. Now, you can understand Fox News saying maybe a third of the businesses don't think they'll survive, but they're basing it on what they have information-wise. New York Post, Gen Z and millennials relying on parents, but NPR says renters not being able to buy a house. There's your fact. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.